Diva Call de Gael, it's Faulty Sports Line on Scarafe Community Radio. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome once again to Sports Line here on Scarafe Community Radio in association with Derek Credit Union on 88.3 FM and 92.7 FM. And I'm joined in studio, as always, by Corporate Center, Pat McNamara. And our guest in studio today is another member of our Sports Line team here on Scarafe Community Radio, well known analyst, Sean O'Hurran. You're very welcome.
Thanks, Leo.
Thanks, Leo.
I suppose, Pat, first of all, looking back, last weekend's games, we'll start with another poor weekend for Clare Camogie, defeat on the double.
Yeah, and I suppose Waterford are a team on the up in senior Camogie for sure. I know that they were disappointed with their final performance last year, but I suppose Waterford are in a position now that we hoped Clare would be 2 or 3 years ago, with a good youngish team coming along, and you know, things looked good there, especially that brilliant Munster final performance blow, but they took a second bout of extra time for Cork to beat us, which isn't that long ago at all. Was it, what's that, only
2 years ago?
2 years ago, a little bit less. But yeah, heavy defeat, but I suppose you couldn't be too surprised with the players missing. I mean, the junior team that won the All-Ireland last year, a few of them have moved up, but there's a lot of the established players not available. And you know, this Waterford team with some of the players they have, you know, from, everyone knows Niamh Rockett and Bridget Bray and those players, and a few new players come in there as well that are very impressive. So I'd say they're on the way up.
And they were in the All-Ireland final last year.
They're on the way up, yeah, and the experience they get from that. So, yeah, it's a tough place to be, and I mean, it's tough on the management and all that when you haven't got your best players available. I mean, I'd say we could easily name 8 or 9 probably first teamers or near enough to be first choices who aren't available, and that's a problem. And look, at until we can get them all back, you know, this year it's just a matter of now hanging in and just, you know, trying to
preserve your status
and try and maybe do something in the championship. But it's hard to see how it will happen, but I'd be sorry for it. They're putting in a big effort, I'm sure, and there's lots of training going on, and there's dedication, and there's, you know, everybody means well, but you know, it's just a very understrength squad, and it's very hard to see them making total progress this year unless something changes.
Yeah, there's no doubt. But anyway, over and turning on the flip kind with the Hurlers, and you know, good win over Kilkenny, and people wonder whether this league has been taken serious or not. I think by the intensity shown in Cusy Park last Sunday, there's definitely plenty of interest in it, but nice to get one over the Cats.
Yeah, well, it was important to get one over the Cats, regardless of the competition, because our two most recent championship, you know, Croke Park appearances for 2 years ago was very disappointing. Last year, much better, but again, beaten with a last minute super save from Juan Murphy. So I think it was good to get the victory psychologically, but also I think the one thing about Kilkenny is there's never, I think, shadow boxing. Whether it's a Cody's team or Ling's team, there was no doubt in my mind that Kilkenny were trying really hard last Sunday. Now, the only difference is, and I heard someone else saying the same during the week, I suppose Kilkenny don't really have to peak until maybe realistically the month of June. Leinster filing, whatever, in the mail month of June, right? Whereas Clare have to peak in 5 or 6 weeks' time for Limerick, at least a month earlier. And I suppose maybe that was reflected in the, you know, Kilkenny's shooting was a wayward a bit, which is not too like them, and maybe their hurling wasn't as sharp as it might be. So it is a factor that, you know, once you beat either Dublin, Westmeath or Antrim in Leinster, you know, they're the kind of opposition that Clare would expect to beat easily enough, and so would any of the Munster teams. I know the Leinster lads don't like hearing that, but it's a fact. Galway and Kilkenny are the two types. However, Wexford, we can talk about them later. I think Wexford are going to be a serious outfit if they keep their players fit this year. I mean, they were missing a lot of players in that game that they played last weekend against Tip, and against Waterford. And I thought they were very, very impressive. But back to Clare, yeah, a good victory, a good psychologically to win it. You know, there was a period in the second half when you thought maybe Kilkenny were going to maybe, you know, sneak it, and it just would have been hard to take for Clare, I think, to lose another championship game, or another game to Kilkenny. So overall, I think Brian Lohan and his background team will be satisfied enough. Some of the new players showing well again, you know. So yeah, it was a good win, and look at, we're in the shake-up for the league now, it looks like. So whether that's where they want to be or not, time will tell.
I suppose, Sean, whether they want to be or not, they're there now anyway.
Yeah, they are.
They'll probably, any team left in it now will probably, they'll probably have to go for it.
Yeah, and absolutely, they're there on merit. And, you know, okay, you could say what you like about Kilkenny, but Kilkenny never go out to lose a game, that's one thing for sure. And I think Clare have, you know, through the league, they have given new players runs, you know, and everyone has, you know, has really They have risen to the occasion, and any time they have got a chance of a game, you know, we'll say Sean Rin is an obvious one. You know, okay, only was on his up Sunday, but he came on, he did well. And the same applies to anyone that has got a chance, you know, for Clare. But the reality of it is, no, they're in the semi-final, and they're facing whoever, Galway or Limerick, whoever is going to be. And that'll be a serious test again for them. But, you know, one would have to wonder, we'll say, where we are in terms of, you know, our the wrong hot rung of the leather, you know, whether we're getting closer to Limerick, which obviously we were last year, and very, you know, probably should have won at least amongst the championship. But the reality of it is, I think, in fairness, Lohan is strengthening his panel. Do you know, he has a few options now to come in as subs, and you know he has 20 or 22 players now that probably didn't have last year. Like Peter Duggan only really came in last week for his full game, and I thought he played very well. Yeah. You know, I thought he was a target man, and of course David Fitzgerald is a revelation.
Probably the player of the year at the moment.
Yeah, in this particular league, you know, he's the one man that. You know, he's shone out in every game, 5 points under, 5 points the previous day. The one thing about David Fitzgerald is that he's physically very big, and he's, you know, for a big man, he's a fantastic burst of pace. He's over 10 yards, like he's untouchable. And that's the way the game has gone now. It's gone in the, you know, the bigger scheme of things, when you get possession, you really have to be able to utilise it, and you nearly want to know what you're doing with it before you get the ball. You know, and it's not an easy thing to do, and it's certainly, you know, something that a lot of players are finding it difficult to do. They very invariably, they get crowded out. They, you know, the swarmed out is the word now, the buzzword at the moment, you know, get swarmed out, and they find it very hard sometimes to find a man outside them. In fact, I often wonder how them get a hand pass away at all, you know, and they're brilliant at it, in fairness now. But I suppose, of all the players that stand out, the man that could stand out in Clare at the moment is David Fitzgerald, because he's turned the pace, and he, you know, as 5 points, you know, is just typical of the man. You know, he's thrown him over at ease, like, you know, particularly in the last 4 or 5 games.
And who else has impressed you, Sean? You know, a lot of games. Darragh Lohan has got a game. You know, Keith Smith from Killinane, local man, has got games. Garrod Chidi, another local man, has got time.
Yeah.
You know,
they have all.
As you said, though, he's walking towards 24. Is that what he's doing?
Exactly, that's it. No, and as I say, you know, it's great to see Keith Smith and Garrod Chidi get games, and when they have been on, they have impressed. No, in fairness, Keith Smith was lively on Sunday, took his 2 points well, and Mark Rogers was very good in earlier stages. He not as sharp on Sunday, but. I wouldn't worry about that. Mark is a ball player, and when the ball will come right, probably wasn't coming right on Sunday, a faster ball. He likes a good fast ball into the corner, and that wasn't there on Sunday, you know. But he'll come good come championship, you know. But as you say, that's what they're doing, is aiming towards the 24. I'd say they're probably thereabouts, and on Sunday or on Saturday now, as it happens, they'll have the opportunity to give all the panel members a run, because there's really nothing at stake in the Offaly game.
Yeah, and I suppose we cannot but mention the performance of the keeper last Sunday. You know, a tough position for him to go in, especially, you know, less than 12 months previous when things didn't go quite well for him. You know, you can be sure it was a mental battle as well going in last Sunday, and in fairness, he came off with flying colours.
He did, and fair play to Brian Lohan and his selectors for given the opportunity to him in Kilkenny isn't a soft touch, and they'll usually be going for goals, and maybe that's why they did put him in. But he made a great double save there in the second half later on in the game when the game was in the balance. A really good double save, just put his body in the right place. It was interesting that all the first half quotes were long, and I'm just wondering, I got the impression they were keeping their powder dry for, you know, what way the quote strategy will be, because everything went long. Peter was doing a fair old job in trying to get possession out of it, breaking ball, and he caught some ball as well, and as the game went on he got better, but there was no such thing as the working the ball out. Now I know Kilkenny kind of pressed up fairly high, but I didn't see any 30, 40, 50 book outs from
Foody,
who is very, very accurate at the shorter book out. But I just thought that was interesting. The goals were very, very long, so we didn't get to see his pinpoint once to the guys running around the middle or maybe the half-back line or whatever, the cornerbacks even. So that, I'd say, was on purpose because you're not going to show your hand like. But he did very, very well. I mean, there's three capable goalies there now. I had a great time for Keane Broderick. I still think Aver was probably the man in position, and I'd say come championship time, unless something drastic happens, I think he still will be. But mention, just to go back to the new players again, I think Conor Lean is another fellow for me that I think has a lot to offer. Adrian Mullin, okay, is a tough ask at any stage, but Lean, I thought, had a great start to the game particularly, and the few times I've seen him now, I mean, he's still learning. I mean, Conor Lean has missed a lot of Corrie Fian games over the championship games. Not to talk about clear games, so his lack of experience is enormous, but there's a load of ability there. He just needs to get plenty of game time and hopefully keep fit, and hopefully there's no serious injury there. Again, there's a couple of players I think could do it a rest. I think Mark could be one might do it a game or two now. Well, certainly the next game off. Maybe John Conlon as well. Maybe Dermot Ryan doesn't need to be. You know, some of the established players, we don't need to keep seeing him every Sunday in the
probably
league.
Probably Adam Hogan as well.
He's
a very busy campaign, and, you know, with Joel as well. And
absolutely.
You know, he has played most of the games.
And he picked up a knock last Sunday as well.
Yeah, he did.
Darragh Owen is another guy who's maybe, you know, shown a lot of good signs. The only thing, despite him, Darragh was the foul. He's kind of fouling a bit too easy. Too obvious, and you know,
he'll learn.
Cheap fouls. Yeah, he will learn, exactly. But I mean, against Kilkenny, sometimes you either be fouled or you're fouled. Just, they're so physical, and you know, they play the game at such a kind of aggressive way. Like, is that, I suppose, fouls will happen, and you're just thinking about tackling over the shoulder, and the neck is always going to be pulled. Like, so, he's learning as well. Sean Wynne, I've been impressed with it, as we said, all right. I thought Shane Meehan might get more game time as well, but I think he contributes every time he's on. So, look at, basically, as Sean said, there's 23 or 4 lads now, and if we're above in Croke Park in 2 or 3 months, whatever, the 3 months' time for the sake of argument, and you want a fella to come in, I think any of those few lads on the fringe are coming now. You say, this lad can do a job. Yeah. They have got the chance before. They've shown up well in training, and they're an option, do you know?
Yeah. Sean, looking at the options, and in the last 2 years, obviously we've lost our centre-back, we lost our full-back last year. Okay, Conor was back for the semi-final above, but huge losses. Do we have the men to go into those positions? I know the other lads can fit into other places. Do we have the exact men that can, you know, go into those positions and do their job?
Yeah, absolutely. We just mentioned the John Conlon thing. Like, Dave McInerney played in the very first game, and he has played very little since.
Yeah.
Maybe he's injured. I don't know what the story there is. But I would have felt that he was one man that could have slotted into the number six if John Conlon has an off day or whatever.
Well, he did last year in Croke Park as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And as we spoke already about Connolly, and I think he has really impressed in the league. Yeah. Just, you know, he's a problem with injury, but, you know, that can happen anyway. Diarmaid Ryan has, you know, I think has played seriously well, and he's an automatic on the half-back line, as I would see it.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have, I suppose, John Conlon and Dave McInerney, and who else have you after that? Not too many, I suppose.
No, maybe.
No,
but you have Hogan, Paul Flanagan is probably the one. Darragh Lohan, surely.
Darragh Lohan, yeah, that's the one.
Obviously, Hogan is going to be cornerback, Cleary, and... Yeah. Rory Hayes, like more.
Yeah.
Lohan is probably going to be the seven men.
Yeah, he will be. Yeah,
for any position,
and he can be utilised at midfield as he did last Sunday.
Well, yeah,
you know. And in fairness, he played in fairly good ball on Sunday. I was impressed with him.
I think he has impressed me now during the league. To be fair, he's abrasive and
that's good on the ball. Fairness to him.
But you probably need a bit of that too.
Oh, you do.
You know.
Yeah.
Nice fellas, don't win anything, Sean.
No, absolutely not. No.
But Sean, your own take, and I know the goalkeeping position, obviously Aver is going to be the goalkeeper, but now there's a battle for the substitute keeper, and both have been good
and
impressive.
Both have really played well when they got the chance.
Yeah.
You know, Kane Broderick is really stood up to anything that has been put in his way, and Footy last Sunday, geez, like, you couldn't blame him. He was very, very good, and I was thrilled to see him get the game number one. But the big thing was to perform on the big stage, because after the nightmare that he had in, you know, against Tipperary last year, he was really thrown in at the deep end, huge crowd, 14 or 15,000 people, and first day, and, you know, got a bad start, and it went from bad to worse.
Yeah.
But 'twas lovely to see him getting his game and performing.
And one man we didn't mention there, another fellow who's starting to find his form, and he has been suffering with injury for a long time as well, is Keane Galvin from Gloucester.
Absolutely, you know, yeah.
So he's into the mix
and
as well.
A player who's got physically much stronger and built up his muscle than he was, kind of maybe lanky there a couple of years ago. You know, always he's been one of those promising players for 3 or 4 years now. Fitzgibbon Cup and Underage for Gloucester and Clare and that. But he had a lot of injury. But he's physically fairly imposing now. I think he has, again, impressed another half-back line option. Yeah. And I think he might be a future centre-back down if things continue to go well for him, maybe 2 or 3 years' time.
Shane Murray, another man he's not making.
Shane didn't feature much the last time he came on, but I mean, yeah, there's more than 24 that are probably have their hands put up to an extent. Yeah. Cathal Lowen has to come back in as well, I remember. He was out the last day, wasn't he? So. Cathal Malone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
He's going to be a guaranteed.
Yeah. Well, he'll be
starting player. And then before you get to the big boys, Shane Gannon and Ryan Taylor, great to see him back running that Sunday as well.
So there's options anyway.
Yeah,
so
there's no doubt, you know, they have definitely strengthened the panel in terms of from 15 to 24, 25 even.
But the one thing that you mentioned.
You can get to 26, obviously, you know.
But Leo, could you have mentioned a minute ago, and maybe we should address it, is it's still 100% clear who would be full back. Is Adam Hogan the most obvious choice? He's not as big as you need to be for a full back. He has the stickiness and he has the marking and he has the hurling, but Rory Hayes then is a little bit too much of a ball player, you think, as well. So Paul Flanagan again, probably more at home in the corner. So a couple of choices for centre back now. David McNerney, maybe one or two more, Dermot Ryan, maybe even Keane Galvin, maybe for a half an hour. But full back, the question is, who would be the best option? And I think they're thinking about Adam Hogan, which wouldn't be a bad thing for Mike. I mean, a great time for Hogan. But do you think the main option or for the other options?
Yeah. For me, he would be anyway.
Verified.
Yeah, he would be, I suppose. Mm. He would.
Yeah.
But physique-wise, the only thing, if he makes a big man, we'll say like
Conor McDonald or
Later
on the year, of course.
The road. You know, it might come against him.
Yeah,
that's the one thing about Cleary. He's huge man, 6'3".
Very powerful.
He can compete in the high ball. But then again, there's not too many high balls coming in now. Like before,
not your Joe McKinnon is
trying, and you can be pulled out of position very often, and you could end up near the first end, you know, a low ball into the corner, and you're 1-on-1 situation. So that probably doesn't suit Conor Cleary. Do you know?
And I suppose, you know, you're speaking, as we're going to reverse a second, and you're talking about the tactic. The first time I've seen a man in Digital Square this year, and parked in Digital Square, was Cork, above again Offaly, where Connolly.
Yeah.
He didn't move from the square, man.
Absolutely.
And he got three goals. Got
3 goals out of it,
Yeah.
Maybe they had seen a weakness there, maybe in the videos or whatever, that's maybe a weakness where Offaly are, but certainly Connolly back is a big plus for them. I mean, I've rated him now, you know, the same as Cork people will be talking about. They rate all their lads when they have one good game, but, you know, he's one of the lads I think is a potentially pretty lethal forward, and, you know, they need him. I mean, there's plenty of these Cork under-20s that have been talked about, but they haven't maybe shown enough yet to show that they've changed from the last 5 or 6 years, and they've been a bit too soft when all is said and done and the going gets tough. But Connolly, to me, a dangerous guy. And I think the hurling is changing all the time. We'll probably talk about the way standards are again before the conversation is over. But, you know, there'll be days when you shove in lead in Digit Square and train rain ball on top of him. And I know there's people in discussions I've been looking at or reading or talking about maybe Shane O'Donnell, should we maybe move back in there again? Personally, myself, I'd like to see him stay in the half-hour line much more. But that's one percent. If you had Rodgers and O'Donnell inside, for instance, they could be lethal. But again, things evolve. You start the team one way and half an hour in, you could change it around. And I suppose that's the good of having versatile players, you know.
But Sean, even, you know, you mentioned it with Brian Lohan, all his players, they can play in any position now. You know, he'd be comfortable putting in any, he'd be confident of anyone he puts in will be able to do the job.
You have to be adjustable and adaptable now to play, be either play for pull back into the full back line. You have to be able to play there and go play out in the half back line as well, and probably in the same in the half hour line and the full forward line. You know, the same, very same process. You know, you just have to be able to, you know, whatever it is, win ball and take a score, take on a man. You know, tis the whole thing has changed from the traditional full forward line and full back line as we would have known it's totally changed.
There's two other lads we didn't mention at all now, still with their hands well up, and that's Ian Galvin and David Reedy, who would be
right.
Also, haven't played badly either of the games they've got. The two lads have contributed. Yeah. And I think Reedy's experience.
I thought David Reedy was very impressive last time. Yeah. In the first half.
He's just got a great touch.
Yeah.
Great balance and that.
Yeah, there don't seem to be 70 minutes in him, Sean.
No, there doesn't seem to be.
It's just the physical thing, though.
No more than the Zinni and Galvin.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know. And they're both great men to take a score, but they have to get the quality ball. Yeah. The ball in front of them, you know, ball to hand.
Certainly, I think.
Out in front, turning over the bar.
Summer conditions would suit them too better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Look at it now, Sean. Has Keith Smith passed them out? In terms of making a go, you know, he's a big man as well, and he's not too size of foot either.
I'd probably prefer Galvin to the lot of them, because Galvin has touch and he's controlled and he swivels around in that left leg
and he's arrogant
and he throws it over his shoulder but he never seems to last less than an hour, and it probably is not in him. You know, moved into the last 10 or 15 minutes, you know, if you can bring on fresh legs, and there's no doubt, but both himself and Reedy and Keith, like, they all have you know, there's something going for them.
Did Clare ever have 10 or 12 forwards that you could name as being as fluent and or as dangerous to score combined as we have now? I don't think of that many, because we're talking about six, because after six what we call very good ones. If you take Tony Killis, didn't even come into conversation. Shane O'Donnell and David McInerney, and we'll say Mark Rogers, three outstanding forwards, as we know. And we have the likes of, we'll say, Reedy or Galvin or Shane Meehan to come in there. We have Duggan, and we have Keith Smith, as we said. And we're talking about
Fitzgerald.
Yeah, all those. Yeah. But I mean, combined, there's about 10 lads there we know can score.
That's right.
And before, we had three, four good forwards and a couple of strugglers, and the subs wouldn't go to change it very much.
I think that's what Brian Lohan is trying to do. He's trying to make it really competitive for every player.
Absolutely.
For every position. So, in other words, they'll have to fight for the jersey, basically. They're not going to walk on automatically onto that team.
And maybe Brian wasn't doing that enough, I thought, in his first year or two in charge, and I think it's this year particularly.
Yeah, he has.
In fairness to him, over the years, he has learned as well.
Yeah, that's right.
He has defined as well. Sean, before we get away from Kilkenny last Sunday, how to read into him. You made the point earlier, Pat, and you did, that, you know, Clare are further on the line in terms of preparation. They'll have to peak in 6 weeks' time for that big match against Limerick. Kilkenny can take a chance and wait for full
time. They have much more time on their side. No, I thought Kilkenny, even though they obviously would have liked to win the game, but I thought some of their striking and some of their shooting for scores, you know, wasn't what we know to be in Kilkenny. You know, that's not they generally, you know, if they go for a score, it's a score. But they just seem to be a small bit off touch on Sunday. It wouldn't surprise me if they're in heavy training and in preparation for bigger things down the road. You see, Clare, as you say, are, you know, far more advanced. It's really only a few weeks and they're back into championship mold. Okay, I don't know whether they want to be in a league final or not. That'll obviously depend on, you know, probably the semi-final, you know, that'll tell the tale there. But the reality of it is that Kilkenny have a bit more time on their side. But the one thing about Kilkenny, you know, TJ Reid, back 36 years of age, and I thought very sharp now for a man that was his first game in the league. I thought he sprayed the ball around very well. You know, he's a great link player. He can score. Didn't score from play on Sunday, but his free taking, as usual, was top class. But he's still a key man for Kilkenny, you know, and at that stage you'd wonder you know, if Kilkenny have too many other options outside of him.
They don't seem to have
You know,
like, one player scored from play for Kilkenny last Sunday in the second half, and that was John Donnelly, who only commands his own.
That's all.
Owen Cody and Mullen, like two lads who take, you know.
Yeah.
But Mullen had the ball, but wasn't shooting well. Cody wasn't really in the game.
And they're two of the top forwards, not again, alone in Kilkenny, but in the country.
Unless it's the heavy training, as we say,
there's a point here, we seem to be missing as well, is this is the first year that Mullen and Cody have been in for any pre-season training with Kilkenny. They've never been in. Shamrocks have been in on other club finals. So they could be feeling the effects of it too.
Absolutely.
And I don't think Richie Reid is their centre-back answer either. No. I just don't think he is. Whatever they'll do in that line, I'm sure.
I doubt that we'll see him again in the number six.
Possibly
after
not, yeah.
The first half, particularly David Reedy went to town and, you know, got a couple of lovely scores of him. But
I don't think he can Kilkenny think that he's the man, like, you know.
He didn't seem to command the position, like, as we have known Kilkenny centre-backs over the years.
Absolutely, you know? Yeah.
And he just didn't seem to be able to cover the wings. Nothing like that, as we would, you know, expect from a centre-back.
A centre-back of Kilkenny standard, yeah.
Yeah.
But so there's no fear of them. They'll find one.
They will.
Okay, we'll continue with the Munster teams at the moment. Then obviously, former Clare manager Davy Fitz involved with Waterford. He's under pressure. There's no, you know, he had a lot of the big guns back last weekend.
Yeah.
Waterford are relegated. The pressure is on now.
Yeah. Oh, he has to deliver in Championship when Championship comes around. There's no doubt he's under a fair bit of pressure. Whether he is anything, you know. He's planning ahead for
no doubt
in terms of Championship and, you know, trying to get it right for the Championship. And no doubt he'll have to. He has no choice now at this stage. He has to go for broke now. The league is gone from him. And the one good thing about him is that he has plenty of time now to try and get it right and prepare. And I've no doubt he'll do that. But whether he consistently do that by getting two or three wins, you see, it is okay to gear a team up and win one round of a championship, but you have to win at least two.
Last year they nearly pulled it against Limerick in the first one, and then they were gone.
That's it.
And they came back again. They defeated no one expected them.
So I suppose a bit of consistency is key there. Now, one thing I'll say in fairness to him, I'd say Davy would probably have not targeted the league this year because he's always had his league teams well prepared and fitter than other teams early on and doing well. He won the league with Clare, was it 2016? Was it
15? Yeah,
or 15? Sorry. And I genuinely think he has tried a few lads during. He was obviously not missing a lot of top players as well for one reason or another. He won't have some of them back either, obviously. But nice to see Jamie Barron back, because a whole lot of great time for it. Don't care what country you're from. I think Jamie Barron is a smashing player to watch. But I'd say Davy knows himself that he probably was even not animated too much in the sideline shouting or getting involved. I'd say he was going to sit in back letting what happen, and I'd say the whole thing is now to get him in quietly away for the next few weeks, whatever, 5 or 4 or 5 weeks, 6 weeks. Work hard behind the scenes and just give one right good. And I think they're capable of lifting, you know, that they have some decent hunters all the time. And if they have the players who are available all there, I'd imagine you'll have to have, unless Davy has learned nothing over the years, he'll have to have the likes of Daisy Hutchinson close inside where he can do damage. And that's getting goals, because when you see Hutchinson over around 60-65, foraging for ball, no team would fear Waterford because, you know, they're shooting the last different distance. There was no one to aim at half the time. But I have a funny feeling David might be just playing games in this situation and letting people think he's doing the same thing as always. I wouldn't be surprised if he had him pretty right for the Championship, and at least to be very tough to beat.
And there's no doubt, Sean, you know, there's the belly gun or Waterford thing going on. A lot of lads say a lot of teams don't care about the county championship, but belly gunner don't count. Worry about the county team, but. Having said, they're all back in though.
Absolutely.
You know, anyone that's good enough is on it, is there.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And don't
be
surprised to see six or seven of them playing in the first round championship.
But
having said that, still no Waterford player has gone near the goals.
That's right.
They don't. They seem to have a fear of going in there, like, or
that's
whatever.
Right.
So they have to win matches that way.
Oh, that's the problem. You see, it's the style that he's playing. Invariably they're shooting from 70, 80, 90 yards, and okay, that'll bring you so far, but you have to go in and get a green flag or two, especially you're playing the likes of Cork and Limerick, and you won't beat them probably on points alone, you know. So, but I expect David though to really from now on he'll be living quiet and he'll be saying nothing, and I think he'll come all guns blazing in the Championship, and I expect him to really perform.
Could they put off one or two, Sean?
Could I expect they will. This is the thing about Munster, you see, it's a minefield really, because you know, anyone can beat anyone else on a given day. As we said already, they were within a buck of a ball of beating Limerick last year, and Limerick ended up winning the All-Ireland. Okay, Limerick were lucky as well. Eventually, you know, they only barely scored, right. You know. So like, I mean, it's really wide open, you know. And it, you know, if you were to pick the three teams that will come forward this minute, Who would you say it?
Yeah, it is a good one, yeah.
Ah, absolutely.
Like you go back Petalas the other night, Limerick and Tipperary. Tipperary got three goals and still didn't beat Limerick.
Beat them. And I felt Limerick probably were in third gear and could have gone in up another gear, I think, being honest about it. But having said that, you know, you have to hand it a tip. They fought back and brought it back to a point. Was it that late goal? Or was it back to a point?
Point stage, yeah.
I don't know. Tip looked very, very good in the first half. I said they're kind of back. Second half, Limerick just dropped a gear, pulled away a bit because the goals kept Tip in it. But like they got the goals. And I mean, Tip have been getting a few goals in the last few years, if I'm not mistaken. Like Jake Morrison, those are getting goals. Like Ford is always dangerous for goal. Yeah. And if John McGrath could get back to his best, which he isn't nearly at the moment, whether he will or not is the question. But look, it's as simple as that. On any given day, after, you know, 4 or 5 weeks training and being in good conditions, any Munster team will think they can beat another Munster team. Okay, Limerick, we all feel, are a step ahead and have been for the last, 4 or 5 years. But if Limerick hadn't had this good team now, I'd say you'd have 4 or 5 different winners of the Munster Champion for the last 3 or 4 years. I'd say Cork might have taken one. I'd say Clare would have taken a couple. I think Tip might have, maybe even Waterford. But Limerick are kind of dominating the whole thing. So people are putting so much into playing Limerick because that their next game, then maybe they're a little bit lacking something, you know.
Yeah.
But it's still a minefield. I'd be hoping there'll be a change this year. I said it the night and we had the Camogie with Martin Fogarty in that chat. That, I think Clare will win it. And I think we have a squad to win it anyway. But it's, look at, it's like Cheltenham, you'd be a brave man not to go back in anyone in the Munster Championship. But, you know, I think we're not in a bad place ourselves. But Waterford will probably take a scalp as usual. And I think Tipper Cork, then who knows what they'll do. But, yeah, you know, they have good holders in certain positions on any given day.
Yeah. Sean, Limerick, God only knows what's going on behind the scenes.
Absolutely,
you hear all the rumours and,
yeah,
you know, and unfortunately the Kyle Hayes incident is still hanging over them. I think until maybe that's put to bed one way or the other.
Yeah, that will probably clear the lines a lot.
Yeah.
But the one thing, going back to the Limerick Tip game the other night, I think Limerick will have learned from the fact that Tip, got the couple of goals to bring, you know, very much nothing in the game and in the finish up. But I can see Limerick getting caught bringing a ball out from the full back line again.
Tom, you know,
they were intercepted. Like, I mean, the who was that got the two goals?
Jason Ford.
Jason Ford got one.
Morris.
Yeah.
Jake Morris.
The Bonner was a real steal. Like, I mean, he just intercepted a hand pass. But actually, Kylie referred to it afterwards. He said they wouldn't be happy about giving away the goals. And I tell you, they'll learn from that. That's the worry I'd have.
I wouldn't like to be training in there this week.
Absolutely, you know, that's for sure. So, listen to me, Limerick are a small bit ahead of everyone else. That's my opinion at the moment. And they have the personnel, and they're playing together for so long. The big thing is, of course, their centre-back. Who's going to be centre-back? We're talking about John Conlon. I mean, who's going to be the Limerick number six? Is there a regular... And is he back? Is he training?
He's supposed to be there, but he's not making any...
He hasn't appeared
since the Munster final last year.
No, he has not.
And he only made fleeting appearances for Adair in the Championship either, you know. So, like, they have tried David Reedy.
That's right.
He seems to be going off the boil at the moment.
Yeah.
Now, obviously O'Neill is good enough to be on the team somewhere, and I'd say they're trying to get him in.
Yeah.
Okay, obviously, if Kyle Hayes is out, Coughlin is going to be, even though...
Yeah,
Coughlin isn't nearly as up to the standard of some of those players, in my opinion.
Yeah,
he's good, but he's very short of pace.
He's short of pace, but I just think he's not. He's a step back from the top Limerick 15 or 17 players, I think. Anyway, good player, and definitely a good player. And on any given year before for Limerick, he'd be probably one of their stalwarts. But with the quality they have, with Kyle Hayes, David Burns, Hannon, when he was going well, and Donoghue and Donovan and those. You know, I think he's a little step back from that standard, and it might be something that could be attacked by Lex and David Fitzgerald if we were playing them sometimes, you know.
Yeah. Sean Finn, no mention of him. He hasn't got any game time yet, even though he's supposed to be close to getting a run.
Yeah, this is it, you know. But I still think it will all boil down to probably one man, and it boiled down to him last year too, I believe. The man that left Clare, Paul Kinnaird. He's the man that sees the difference between and the closing the gap between winning and losing in tight games. Whatever it is about him, he's able to make the moves. He's able to see it, you know, whether it is in the clipboard or whatever it is, by God, he can read it. And you invariably you'll see him coming to Kiely, when they're in trouble, when they're down four or five pints. That's the, you'll never see him up to then.
Yeah.
But by God, he's able to justice it, and he's able to fill the gaps or create a move that's a score or two comes out of it, and then we're back on track again. And you have to admire him, you know.
Yeah, they're brilliant. He's brilliant.
There's no doubt about that. He's a fantastic man on the line, and of course his coaching expertise shines out. I think, you know, right through especially the tight games, 'tis then you really see what he's doing in the training ground, and it comes through in all those players, especially in forward play.
And speaking of the forwards, like Lynch was only back for his first game less healthy.
Yeah.
It was like he was never away. And now everyone else was a man for more
than very promising player.
He don't look too bad either.
He does not.
Very good. No. He looks very good. The only thing I noticed about Keane Lynch is, and I was always watching over the years, admiring his hurling, his hands. His footwork is unreal. Just watching his footwork the last day, there seemed to be no way out of a bunch of players. And whatever way he can dance his feet, he's gone. Just to get enough to get roof to get the ball away. He had the range of a French rugby player. Do you know, just the footwork. I just noticed that now watching last weekend more so. I know his hands are brilliant.
Yeah.
That'll tap up into the hand from the ground and all the other things he does. But I just thought he'd think his footwork is outstanding. And O'Dalig, I think, was very impressed with him. I think he's a fabulous, beautiful looking balanced hurler. Lovely striker as well. And he'll come. Graham Mulcahy still coming in there is amazing to me. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
You know, he's still off for something. But
getting the score.
It's kind of strange how they haven't nearly.
Yeah.
No one said discarded him, but another
Keane Lynch's ability to get the ball away.
Yeah.
You know, he pokes at the top of the hurley. He doesn't always hand pass it.
No.
You know, and he'd be going one when he hand passes it back over his shoulder. But he seems to have
vision is unreal too.
Vision unreal. And he's able to pinpoint a man. And invariably when the catch goes through the middle, it ends up with a score.
Yeah.
It mightn't be he gets it, but someone on the outside or the inside is going to get it.
And didn't make it easier, because mostly when he gets the possession, there's about three around him, because he's the man you have to watch.
Absolutely.
And yet he seems to get the ball away. Yeah.
But that's why I'm saying, like, he has this great vision to whip it out top of the hurley, shove it on, or, as you say, a hand pass. And he can pass it with left or right hand.
Yeah. He can.
You know, he's that perfected as well. And very few people can do that.
He's unreal.
And they're not worried about goals. They're aiming for 30 points every match. That's what they're there's often in time you get 20 scores, you're way on the way, now it's 30.
That's right.
And that's what they're minimum, that's what they're aiming for.
But I still think Clare will be there or thereabouts. I think we have strengthened the panel, we have players to come back now. Whether they'll all be back now, probably Ryan Taylor may not be back.
There's a big doubt.
But like the forward line we have, and Tony Kelly is going to come back obviously, and hopefully he'll be back sooner rather than later. And you know, he'll need to get game time, you know, before a big championship game. But I still think if we get our spine of our team, if we get from 3-6 midfield and centre forward and full forward right, I think the rest will fill for itself.
Yeah.
But we would have to make sure we're strong up the middle. And tis probably what we would always have said in relation to a team or a club team, whatever, that if we're strong up the middle, you have a very good chance.
Yeah. Before we leave Munster, Sean, Tip and Cork, Tip, do they really know where they are?
I still think Tip will have a big say in the championship. I think they're building over a period of time. They have new players coming in. O'Connor is, I think, a big man.
Yeah, giant.
Played great hurling with Joel. Savage hurling, a great free taker. They have Jason Ford now. You know, if he doesn't click, or if vice versa, they have a man to replace him. And I just think that they're gearing towards the championship all the time. I think at the moment in Tip, they feel they're coming. There's something getting stronger and stronger. And I think there will be a serious threat. I'll put this with you. I wouldn't like to be going to Thurles to take on Tip at home.
Yeah.
If Seamus Kennedy is injured badly, though, he'd be a loss. That's one thing that'd be a concern.
Connor Bowe has done well, though.
That's right, he's promising for a while now, too.
He's done very well.
Paddy Cadell hasn't really...
No, he hasn't shown as yet. No.
And of course, Norm McGrath hasn't made his appearance yet.
He'll be soon due. But they're probably minding Norm McGrath to come championship time.
Bit like us with Shane O'Donnell, wasn't that,
Same thing. Yeah. And Michael Breen, is, I think, playing great hurling. Fantastic.
He'd probably be the most underrated one of the whole lot of them.
The most underrated. And they have played him in amazingly in different positions. He was midfield, wing back, he's back, cornerback now. Yeah. And played very well last Sunday.
Played centre forward even.
They still
have a good experience, much like Bonnermere and Ronanmare are still there as well, playing well. I mean, Bonner came in, got a wonderful goal from his point of view because he did the robbery and he completed the move himself. Ronanmare is a good dominant kind of player. He is, yeah. They have a good old backbone all the time, but whether they have enough new good lads, that'll be a test now for Tip. But
the problem they have
not
is
fair off at all.
One of the problems they have is who they're going to put in goals, whether it be Barry Hogan or Shelley.
Yes, I suppose,
That's their desperate.
They seem to be switching them around.
You know, when they're switching like that, you're not too sure. And of course, Cork are going to be Cork. They were the unlucky team last year.
But we're saying that all the time. But I thought the day we played them in Innes, there's something soft about Cork.
There is, absolutely. Compared to
teams of old, Cork of old would put you away with three goals and you'd never recover from it. But that's not there anymore.
They can't
even
go
back to the 2006 team, 4, 5, 6. I mean, there were Connors and those lads. Jesus, like they were unreal hurlers, weren't they? When you think back about them, like, there's no Ben O'Connor or Jerry O'Connor now.
No.
And I suppose maybe, Sean, to the point we're going to talk about in a minute, is the style of the game that's being played at the moment is... You know, so they brought this short game in first of all, and of course he's gone all the way.
One thing I see is Limerick are hand passing it and passing and moving, but there's a purpose to it. I think you see Cork lads, they hand pass the ball for the sake of the hand pass around the half back line. There's a fella there who could deliver a ball, he gives us another extra hand pass, and then it might be another one. And there's no directness about them, And they have big lads up front if they wanted to, So I think they can settle on a style, but I think the problem for Cork. It's become mental now because their famine now is nearly 20 years, isn't it? I can't remember that happening ever before. Would it be good that long?
It's 2005.
That's what I said for 19 years.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely unbelievable for me.
I wouldn't mind having a few more.
None of us would. And we could Tip and Kilkenny add to it. But, and we'll be hoping Limerick get into their famine now shortly as well from our point of view. But I'm just saying that... it's a bit of a psychological thing now. Any young lad in Cork now under the age of 30 doesn't remember them winning in Ireland. I have to believe it.
But the big thing is they've been winning under 21.
They have,
minors, really good minor teams in 21 years. And underage development squads have been dominating it for the past 7 or 8 years.
10 years,
and nothing has really come of it.
They won under 20. Like if you just say last year in the Ireland final, like Clare nearly caught him in the under 20 final, nearly beat him. If there were any other team other than Offaly in the All-Ireland final,
they'd have been caught too.
They could have been pulled too,
Ben O'Connor has got the last to him. Ben O'Connor is the last to him in fairness.
He's
the physical guy now.
He's a powerful player.
Before we get away from the teams and says, Wexford, Rostra are probably the manager of the year. So far. To do what he's done with the players that he's been missing. And they're unbeaten.
I'm very impressed. I was very impressed last night. We'll have three draws already, which means they're unbeaten in four games, or you could say they only drew three, they're winning three, but like three draws are three draws. But I just like what I see in them. I mean, Lee Chin, obviously injured, off again, no sign of Colin McLaren the last day. The O'Connors weren't there the last day, I think.
No.
O'Hanlon just came back. But there's a young Byrne lad up front there. It looked
Liam
Ryan fire.
Is still gone. Yeah.
Ryan, absolutely, yeah.
And may not
Byrne,
be back.
Some of their play the last day was out. Now, every ball they hit from midfield went over the bar, which is very unusual for Wexford. They happen to go over. Yeah. They know they'll go over again on that. But I just thought that something about them, if they had their full panel, like Clare now, we knew Wexford had maybe a good 12 or 13 and then struggling a bit. With the lads, if you brought back Conor McDonald, Lee Chin, the O'Connors, Ryan, O'Hanlon fit back into that. That's and back, but and McGovern, is it?
Yeah.
If you like that.
Dermot
O'Keefe. All of those,
Yeah.
I think they'll be up there with Galway and Kilkenny. I still think Kilkenny will be up there with them. Yeah.
Yeah, they're playing Kilkenny in Northern.
I think they can match them. Yeah, that's in the league, isn't
it? That won't phase them.
No, it won't. And Kilkenny are afraid of them. There's no doubt. Even tis in Northern.
Wexford will lift it for Kilkenny. Yeah.
Galway, Sean.
Should the great enigma, you know, we've often spoken about them, you know, they haven't delivered. And I'm surprised with Henry Shepton in a lot of ways, but I suppose he's just playing the cards he's dealt with. And listen to me, sure, we're all the time waiting for the big game and the big breakthrough, but they don't seem to, you know. I suppose if they won the league or something, it would probably give them, you know, something to build on. But they'll still be there or thereabouts, I suppose, come championship. They have
a lot of ground to make up since last year, Sean.
They have, yeah, a lot of ground to make up, yeah. They have never really, even under Shefflin, the only thing is the man, what do you call him, is after coming in Valdrum. Eamon O'Shea. Yeah, Eamon O'Shea probably will add something to the whole situation, because he knows Galway Hurling very well. He's living in Galway for a long time, and he'll know all the players, and he'll get the maximum out of them.
Yeah.
He will.
His son's on the panel, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
He certainly is a key man now, I'd say. For Shefflin this year, because really Shefflin has to deliver this year.
Pat, one last question before we get away from the teams. League winners.
That's a tough one. I don't know, but John Collins says they want to win the league. I wouldn't be surprised if Wexford won it.
Sean?
I'd stick with Clare.
Yeah. I'd have to go with you on that. Yeah. There's no other word.
Yeah.
There's a lot of games we're going to know, right? And, you know, obviously the game has changed dramatically over the number of years, but last Sunday, a lot of tipping the ball over and back, Sean. The spectators, maybe the older generation, not happy. You know, a lot of the tackling is like kind of more like rugby tackling. Has the game... Obviously, it is the slower, the ground is slower at the moment, and it will open up as the championship comes. But, you know, we go back to the Munster final last year, the Clare Limerick game. What a spectacle! Unfortunately, the scoreline didn't. But a lot of these games are very dour, and they're not really spectator friendly.
Yeah, that's a problem. It's a problem, particularly for the older generation that saw and grew up with a different style of hurling, with direct ball, moving the ball fast. And invariably, when they got the ball, they just made room for themselves and delivered. But the game, there's no doubt the game has changed completely now. If you're not able to win possession cleanly and have your mind made up what you're going to do with it, and you have only a split second to do that, you either hand pass it or you deliver it. And the big question is, are you going to deliver it to hand, to a teammate? That's the big question, and you have to do that now in the modern game. You have to find a player of your own team, because if I poke a ball up the field 70 or 80 yards and it falls into the centre back's hand and they think it's back down on top of you, or it's a score, it's more than likely it's a score.
Sure, yeah.
So from that position, it's a bit like rugby or soccer. It's kind of holding position, and as you rightly point out, playing a ball across the half back line. And even I saw last Sunday there was a ball poked back to the goalie, and he poked it back to the corner back then at the other side of the field. So I mean, it's gone a bit like football, you know, to a degree. But at the same time, it is what it is now, and the game has changed so much. And I can't see any team going back to a bit of ground hurling and overhead striking, and they're winning in our Ireland. It just is not going to happen, you know, and that's the reality. But it's the swarm tackle. But the one thing that annoys me is probably the hurry up around the face. I don't understand why you have to do that. But I think it's because when the man in position, he's trying to break the tackle all the time. So inevitably the man's arm is getting caught. You know, he very often goes in under the arm, and the hurry then automatically is the carrying hand. So it ends up with a yellow card. And that's the sad thing about it, you know. And he could have another yellow for some, you know, simply small thing as well. And then he's gone.
And so I suppose the referees are getting a hard time, Ben. And look at James Owens didn't endear himself to the fans last Sunday. Johnny Murphy didn't endear himself to Galway fans. But you're taking it, Pat, you know, and especially even this tackle. It's kind of like the swarm. It's like a rugby tackle. It's swarm tackle.
We've exactly the same playing rules as we had 40 or 50 years ago. The rules hadn't changed hardly an iota, right? But we have a totally different ball game. As Sean says, I think there's three options, Sean. You said two, and I'd say you could have ended the third one. One is the hand pass, the other one is the deliver, and the third one is the carry. So if you have a ball in your hand after kicking it up or catching it, and you see a bit of a gap there, and you're going to go for the gap in two players, the natural thing is they put out, they put their arms and their hurley out a bit and they get a close in on you. They try, for the ref's sake, not to hold you too well, but the guy with the ball someone is clever enough to pull in their hand and hurley too. So if they have linking arms and you have lads pretending to pull back, and sometimes the refs are caught with it. Like, it's very hard to referee. I have to have sympathy for the referees. And I mean, I think I said it here before while in another discussion that if myself going back, I never refereed at all at any level, but primary school games one time, at that level even, little lads, you'd be there refereeing a game, right? And you saw the guy carrying the ball, and you know the other guy that came for him kind of half nudged him and kind of half pulled him a little bit, he kept going, he took 7 steps, and he said, which way do I give it or do I give anything? It's actually hard to decide.
Yeah.
And even if you're a top referee, it still is. But I know some of them are still good at it. I don't know. I'd say you'd have a good game still in good conditions, because they're so fast and so fit now that they can use their footwork and they won't be skidding around the place and the ball pops off the ground. But when you're in winter conditions, the game is awful to look at nowadays, because once you get stuck on the ground, you're the first one of the rock. You have 16 pairs of legs in there rooting around and hurling, trying to roll lifted like under 8 camogie was. 10 years ago, it's roll lifting, and nobody wants to make a mistake. The hand passing, I think, is fine, but I would say there's one thing that could possibly change. That is to limit in a particular move the amount of hand passes. Now, it might be hard for a referee. Maybe say 2. There's often 6-7 hand passes now in a move, and I think eventually that leads to even the crowd gets disinterested, because this is from the corner back to the wing back and back to the goalie, and he hurlies, gives a hurley over, and then there's another couple of hand passes around the middle. I wonder if that even could be cut out again, because what the crowd loves most is the contest for a ball. Two guys go up for it, or two guys go through and one of them beat shoulder enough to the other and pick it up in a bit of space. But when it is in crowds, I mean, it's messy. So coaches run the game, and they'll do whatever they think is needed to win. And I'm quite sure we'll be talking about a different set of things in September 8 years' time.
And Sean, I suppose it's kind of like, Glenn, it's kind of like football. It's a bit faster than, obviously it's faster than the football, but
yeah,
it's kind of the same mindset really, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, particularly in football, it is laborious looking at it now, in fairness. Now, it's hard work playing in some games.
Just
now,
to say, Sean, and I'll let you back in, there's only one time now the crowd gets involved in football. That's when there's a score. Otherwise, they're coming out along the backs. The other team is going back to 45. They're hitting the pass on each other. The crowd are silent.
Yeah.
Only when there's a score got, or maybe a turnover. That's it.
Yeah. But in the game of hurling, if you think about it, we'll say for Adam Hogan, we'll burst out and he'll beat his man. He'll get through it. He'll play it out to Damon Ryan. But Damon Ryan is such a good striker of a ball. He actually shoots for a score.
Yeah.
And he's capable of scoring. Dave McInerney likewise.
Mm.
And it's the same in a lot of half-back players or midfielders. If they get the ball, they'll shoot. So what does that beg? It begs to me that the full forward line invariably is being starved of possession. In other words, there's no quality ball going into the full forward line. Like, if you go back to Kilkenny and Cork of old, they loved hitting in low ball into the full forward line.
Yeah.
The likes of Charlie Carter, DJ, they were out in front of their men, turning the strike, left hand right, over the bar. But that's not happening now in the full forward line. You can be in the full forward line now and you mightn't get 3 good balls in an hour. You mightn't get 3 of any description. So, invariably, because they're shooting from further
over
the field.
Going over your head.
And they're great scores from, people are applauding the score from 60 yards, from 80 yards, from 90 yards, and which they are, rightly so. But I still think it's very hard to be a forward in the modern game. Do you know what, you know what I'm coming at?
And there's less goals, which crowds love as well.
Yeah.
I mean, a score of 3-16 to 4-17 is way better than 29-24, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know?
And invariably also, if a team gets 3 goals in a full forward line, or 2 goals even, like, that's probably the difference between winning and losing a game.
Of course.
And that's why I can't understand the coaches are not targeting to get it, to isolate players in the full forward line, corner forward, whatever, and take on his men. And like we spoke about the men from Cork last
against Offaly. Connolly, they got three goals. And I saw that on television Sunday night. I mean, he was totally isolated. There wasn't a man within 25 or 30 yards of him. So all he had to do was to win his ball, take on his man and put it away. And but that's why I can't understand that you know, more coaches aren't trying to do that with modern forward.
Occasionally, Gillan gets a great ball in to do that kind of thing. Yeah. And I think Clare have been. Mark Rogers, Shane O'Donnell, Ian Galvin would be capable of finishing those two if we could arrange to do that as well.
Absolutely. Sean, I know the time is catching up on us. Should they increase the value of the goal? I know the top order in football to try and get more, but should they do it in hurling as well?
Yeah, if it meant more goals to me, I certainly would. I you know, if teams were going to get a couple of goals, or if it was going to be worth 8 points, just by all means, absolutely. But I don't see that happening now. But the reality of it is, though, I'm surprised at the coaching aspect of I'm thinking of and getting the ball into the foot forward line or fast ball in and you know, would just say Mark Rogers, he'd love to be getting a good ball into the foot forward line. On a one-on-one situation, a low ball, he's, you know, as he probably got a great goal, Jimmer, was it last year?
Against Tip.
Yeah, I mean, ball, he'd only won, but he'd only a split second, but he could turn around and bang it into the
net. I think one of the causes for that in decline, the kind of hurling you were talking about, Sean, that we all love and is very effective, is a lot of teams in the last 10 or 15 years have been having an extra defender, right? And Phyllis tried to play ball up, has been taken, picked up by the sweeper easily, the crowd go mad, and I think that has frightened halfbacks and defielders into kind of trying to deliver a good ball in that'll be intercepted by this loose defender.
You're 100% right. The sweeper has nullified an awful lot.
It's a shame, talking
about. Sean, they're kind of gone now as well, though, you know, that when you're coming attack, you're coming in waves now, you're not coming it's to counteract
that.
Yeah. The clock has come up in us for tonight on the hurling side of it. Pat, before we close, the dream burst in Twickenham last Saturday evening.
Yeah, somehow, you know, something from the very first minute of the game or two, I just felt that there's something, little thing wrong here now, that this isn't too much complacency. I'm mostly complacency with the players, but the general chat on the radio and the build-up to the game was, sure, there's no way England can beat us, we're way better than them and all this, but I mean, they have a massive squad. I'd say Bartók will turn out to be a good coach yet and a good manager as the future goes on. They have really lively backs that hadn't been used at all because it kicked up in there, but when they got the ball in the hands, their run in the last day was super, and you know, our lads, I'm not sure. Okay, you could talk about decisions made. Colin Murray kicking the ball into touch 20 metres out, we think was crazy, but we had five fresh forwards on in the last few minutes that could easily maybe hold on to that ball and just seeing out the time. But look, England deserved it, they were better on the day, and sometimes that just happens, you know. If it's just the other way around, we could always lift our game against England once every 5 or 6 years, and it's obvious that some team would lift it against us, and they did, and that's exactly what happened. We weren't able to handle it.
Beat Scotland this evening in Championship is still, but I know, it's to be bittersweet.
Look at Championship, I don't think we should turn up our noses at anything. We have so little won over the years. I mean, a Championship 10 years ago would be celebrating. The papers would be full of it and television before to win the Championship. We still can win it. Grand Slam is icing on the cake. I think it's a great thing to win. And I think Scotland is a team Ireland like to beat because they've caught us a few times before, and I have a feeling that it'll be a really good game, and I think we'll probably get it right as well.
Sean, that's the beauty of sport.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Ireland have a point to prove now. They will come out all guns blazing. I'm expecting them to beat Scotland well.
Beat them well. I was just about to say the same myself.
As Italy did.
That concludes our sports line show here today on Scariff Bay Community Radio in association with Derek Crowley Jr. We hope you all enjoyed it. Once again, thanks to Pat, our co-presenter, and thanks to our special guest today, Sean O'Halloran. Jim, thanks to Jim Collins and the control door, keeping the sound going there for us. So, until we meet again, from all here on Sportsline, from Leo Dyle here, is Bannock Day, August Lawn.